listening to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM, and we have a quiz question to start off the hour. Please, producer Shell.
Whose wife was troubled by a dream about Jesus? Whose wife was troubled by a dream about Jesus? 0491-064-669. That number again was 0491-064-669. I saw your answer, Ben, and it is correct. Yeah, it
did. No, the first one was correct. No, but I also did think it could be that one. Because it's like, which one's which? I never remember.
So. Okay. Whose wife was troubled by a dream about Jesus? Send us through. You can actually find the answer if you want to as well at Matthew 27, verse 19.
Thank you, producer Shell, for that quiz question. You know, quizzes are my favorite part of the show every single time because I'm very competitive. So we are going to get into our 1 Corinthians study momentarily, but we just wanted to make a few little comments before we get into that. So first of all, we've heard in the news just now about this big earthquake over in Japan. I believe it was a 6.8.
7.1, I thought.
I guess they
Maybe they changed
their ideas.
Yeah, when I was listening in this morning, it was 7.1, but did they change it in this last update?
No, I was reading the breaking news at the start of the morning, around 5.30, and it said 6.8, but if they've updated it to a 7.1, that's fair.
Terrible, yeah.
That's every like when it goes from 6 to 7 or like from 5 to 6, it's actually exponential on the Richter scale.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. They're, like to get to a 7 is completely enormous. Like you barely feel a 2 or a 3, but then a 7, it's like just life shattering.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
And I believe they like it severed an entire bridge.
Yeah. Some
people are trapped.
There's, from what I heard earlier, hopefully less are trapped now and more people have been found that they thought might have been trapped. But when I was driving in this morning, it was around, they thought about 2,000 people were trapped.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Man, what a hectic thing.
Like, prayers
were there
for
people
them.
On the bridge and then it collapsed and went down
don't know.
Or something?
I don't know.
That's terrible. And in France, we've also got like 40 degree heat and was it bushfires as well? I think.
Yeah, that's right. So they are experiencing a heat wave there in France, and bushfires are starting to pop up everywhere. So we also want to think of them.
Yeah, France is not used to bushfires, are they?
I wouldn't imagine.
No. Do they even have enough bush for a bushfire?
Yeah, France has got beautiful countrysides.
I know they have beautiful countrysides. I've got images in my mind of like rolling green hills and things.
Yeah.
It's just not like a bushy kind of place in my memory. But right. I haven't been there personally, so I have no idea what I'm on about over here. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, let's keep those people in Japan and France in prayer. There's so many things going on in this world. It makes me think of Matthew 24, that there's going to be all sorts of problems cropping up in the world as the time gets closer before Jesus comes back. And it's just going to get worse and worse before it gets better, which is when Jesus does come to take us home to heaven. But in the meantime, let's not be heartless towards the sufferings of others. Just because we are going through a time of relative peace and safety in Australia, we should also be caring for the people around the world and uplifting them in our prayers if there is nothing else that we can do, but also finding creative ways that we can be supportive of them as well. And pray that they come to know Jesus as a result of their sufferings as well. We have some text messages that have been coming through. I've been enjoying reading some of these. So earlier in the show, we were talking about the possibility that we might have more eggs that can be produced after birth for women. Brayden says, God designed us to live forever. So the idea that your body can produce more eggs is back to the Bible, basically. That's a really good observation. Yeah. We were talking the other day about some of the really, really old people in the Bible, like Methuselah and Adam and things. They lived up into the 960s, right? And so if God originally designed humans to live super long lives, but even before that, before sin entered the world, for us to live eternally, and we'll be coming back to that original design in the new heaven and new earth, as we stay in close connection with God, God has created us to do some amazing things with our bodies. So, yeah, makes sense what you're saying there, Brayden. We've got a message from Stuart saying pregnancy is such a miracle. It is almost unbelievable when pregnancy happens. We are wonderfully created. Amen. I agree. So good. We've also got, we were talking about the battle over the wills with, what was his name? Peter Brock. The race car driver, and how his family have been fighting over the inheritance from his massive wealth. And Stuart messaged in saying, took 25 years to sort out my parents' estate. Big wins for all the solicitors. I think I actually read that out earlier. And Lynette says, say hello to Pastor Ben from Lynn and the crew at Canberra National Church. Hi, Pastor Ben.
Hello, Lynn. Good to see you. Hear from you.
Lovely to hear from you, Lynn and the crew. Thank you. I'm sure, yeah, Ben's got a big smile from ear to ear over here about that one. We also had a message from Deborah a little while ago saying the program in Canberra has gone to Tassie Encounters. Is there a problem? What was going on there, Shell?
Yeah, it looks like we had an internet issue here in Currumbong where we are because, yeah, we had a dropout, and it always takes a few minutes to get everything back up and running when there's a dropout, unfortunately. So, but we are back on. And if you did miss any of that, then you can jump in and listen to our podcast later to get that last little bit.
And we finally have a message from Jennifer Skews herself. Since she dropped out and we weren't able to continue the conversation with her, well, we dropped out and we weren't able to continue with her. She sent us a message just to wrap up her thoughts that she wasn't able to share at the end of our conversation. She says, when your emotions take over and emotional reasoning kicks in, write down the type of thoughts you were thinking and make them more realistic. Work on focusing in the present and look at a solution instead of fearing the future, which causes anxiety, or ruminating on the past and feeling depressed. That's some really good advice. Some good wisdom, some practical things that you can do. If you're finding yourself, you know, stressing, being anxious, feeling it, whatever kind of big or negative emotion, you don't have to stay in that negative emotion. There are practical things that you can do by starting off by writing it down, reframing and finding a way that it makes more sense realistically, and looking for a solution rather than looking ahead with fear or looking to the past with regret and feeling depressed. So thank you so much to Jennifer for that message. Really appreciate it. Okay, now Ben, you are leading us in our First Corinthians study. In, I believe it's chapter 7.
Encounter with God time.
Encounter with God, definitely.
Yes. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 dealt with immorality in the church. Chapter 7 began with it's better for a person not to marry and remember the circumstances that the people were in at that time. And then it said that it was fine to get married and that affection and responsibility are important for happy marriage and not to deprive each other of, sexual and intimate relationships. Then he goes on to what about the married that are already married and married now? Would you like to read...
Yes.
Verse 10 and 11 for
sure,
us.
I can read that. Now to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife.
Yeah, so this little section here is divided into two parts. These two verses are referencing believers and two believers that are married. Following this is where there's challenges with one person is a believer, one person is not. So Paul is just stating, and notice he says that he's not commanding. This is the Lord's command, Jesus himself. And this is in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said, a man is not to divorce his wife. And so Jesus said this himself. And Paul is reiterating this. and that the only condition for divorce is your understanding of that is?
Well, Jesus says in one of the Gospels that the only reason is sexual immorality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So unfaithfulness in marriage is the only reason for a person to be accepted by God to walk away from the marriage. And, of course, even under those circumstances, it's if possible, then the marriage could and should stay together.
What do you think about, like, abuse in marriage?
Yeah, abuse in marriage, God does not expect a person to be bound and remain in marriage if there's abuse.
Is there anything written in Scripture that supports that?
No, not really, but only that Jesus said that he allowed divorce for whatever reason.
Yeah, for the hardness of your hearts. Yeah, you've been given this consent.
Yeah, for the hardness of your hearts.
This concession.
Yes. The condition is that the person is not to remarry. So this brings a challenging one as well. So if a person is abused in their marriage relationship, are they required to remain unmarried?
Well, I'm thinking of a Old Testament situation where they would consider if a man abandoned his wife, that the wife would, after, was it like a year or two, she would be free to remarry somebody else?
Yeah.
Does that ring
Where's
a bell?
That at?
I don't remember.
I don't know that that's the way that it's worded.
Yeah, it might not be worded exactly like that, but that's the situation that comes to
mind.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it was abandonment.
Yeah.
Because there was all kinds of, like, things for the widow.
Okay.
But I'm not sure about the abandoned.
Hmm.
I will start researching now.
We will have to research, so we're not sharing inaccuracies. We'd like to really be Bible-based here.
Yeah, so notice verse 11, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. Because in Bible times, in earlier days, if somebody didn't like their wife any longer, they would just leave without due cause.
Was it the Pharisees who were, like, coming up with rules that, you know, if you don't like your wife's cooking, if she burns the cooking, that is reasonable grounds for divorce and things like that?
Yeah, I think they were adopting the cultures of, you know, the world, the world at that time, yeah, where marriage was not considered as lifelong.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go on to verse 12 and 13, if you can read those two.
Sure, I can do that. It says, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him.
Yeah. So just remember, in Corinthians, the church was very young and had only been going, you know, some years, maybe a decade or so. And there were many people that became Christians and became followers. And, you know, from paganism, idol worship, immorality, all of that was the culture of the time. And there were spouses that became Christians. Some, the whole families became Christians. Many of them, we have recorded that in the Scripture. Yeah, but here is where one partner becomes a Christian and the other doesn't, and not family. And here he's saying, but to the rest of those that have, you know, unequally yoked, so to speak, which is a biblical term, to not depart and not divorce if they're willing to live to still remain married. So this causes, you know, can cause tension and challenges, but if both parties are mutual and respectful of each other's, you know, spiritual choices or not as a Christian, then not not to divorce, which is a nice thing, actually. And the Bible even goes on with this. So this is not in the context here, but there are many, many people and some people that choose, that are Christians and believers, that choose to marry a non-Christian or a non-believer. Now, in the Bible, this is not not allowed, if I might say it. It's very, very plain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, this is very clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Mm.
But if two are unbelievers and one becomes a believer, then not to divorce. But here, not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship does righteousness or a believer have with lawlessness or an unbeliever? And what communion has light with darkness? So the Bible is quite clear and very well stated in this respect with marriage.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We now have a quiz answer and our final quiz question for the morning.
Indeed we do. So whose wife was troubled by a dream about Jesus? That was Pilate's wife, and unfortunately he did not heed her wisdom in that matter. And yes, things didn't go so well for him.
It could have gone so much better for him.
And for Jesus, if he would have just listened.
Hmm.
In that moment. I mean, we know that it was still going to happen to Jesus either way, yeah. But for him, if he, his part in it, yeah.
Yeah.
There would have been one other person who believed and encouraged Jesus yeah. along his way. Okay, what was the name of Isaac's half-brother? What was the name of Isaac's half-brother? You can find that answer in Genesis 16, verse 15. We have a correct answer coming through here. 0491-064-669 is our text line. What was the name of Isaac's half-brother?
Isaac actually had a number of half-brothers.
Do we have them all named?
I believe we do.
Okay.
But we're going to look at it later.
Good, good, good. But let's do it later. And then I will accept any of them that come through.
There's one specific one that most people think about.
The first, I'm assuming. It's the first one. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right, Ben. We were looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Where did we get up to?
Yes. We looked at an unbelieving husband or wife, married to a believing husband or wife, spouse, can and should, if at all possible, stay together and be respectful and live happily. So we come to verse 14 and 15, which is amazing text.
Okay.
You can read those for us.
14 and 15?
Yes.
Says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace.
Yeah. All right. So, previous to this, we've seen that a person that lives or sleeps with somebody that's not a believer becomes unclean or is joining themselves to an idolater, basically what it's inferring. Maybe I could back that up by what we read prior in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and that according to Christ, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? So an unbeliever, a believer having light, an unbeliever not having the gospel and God in their life. And what accord has Christ with Belial, and what part has a believer with an unbeliever? So this is the principle here. But in this circumstance, where a person becomes a believer, their spouse becomes sanctified. What is our definition of sanctification or sanctified?
Yes, sanctification. I believe it's the process in which you become right with God. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So is it like a once-off event or is it a process?
Yeah. In this, it's inferring that the person could become a believer by the behavior and the conduct of a believer.
So the husband and wife, let's say the husband is a Christian and the wife is not a Christian. As they continue to live happily together, despite their differences in beliefs, which they've gained after they've gotten married. So they were both unbelievers when they got married. One person has chosen to become a believer, and then the other person has not chosen to become a believer at that same time.
Yeah.
There's a high chance that if they continue to be married, is it saying that the influence of the believer will rub off enough onto the unbeliever that they might eventually choose to be a believer? Is that what it's saying here?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not saying that they'll be sanctified even if they don't choose, but they can become sanctified as they become under the influence of their believing spouse. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, in this verse, if we look closely, it almost infers as if they are treated as they're a believer, even though they're not.
Sure. Okay.
All right. So the for the unbelieving husband is sanctified or treated as holy, as a believer by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Likewise, your children.
I feel like it just feels like a really confusing text for some reason. I don't know if I have it 100%. I want to dig deeper into this and learn more about how that can be.
Yeah.
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 What else can we learn about this?
Yeah. Look, in our churches and in all the churches that I've had believers and unbelievers, you know, in my churches. And some of them have supportive spouses and others not. But many of them, you know, appreciate their spouse and support their spouse in their belief and their church. It's especially difficult for children, and because, you know, children, you know, do they go to soccer, you know, on the weekend when the believing spouse is at church? And so there's tension here.
Yeah, splitting the family up and not keeping them as a unit.
Yeah. And maybe with us as Seventh-day Adventists that worship on Sabbath, and a believer that may be a believer but worships on Sunday, you know, this is challenging as well.
Sure, yeah.
But it seems like God loves marriage and relationships, and He wants to honor the relationship, and that yes, it's very true that a person's actions and love and God's character in the person's life has an influence on the other person, and the entire family. All right, so let's go on a little bit further. Verse 15, I think we read that. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So this is graciousness on God's part, that if the unbeliever chooses, you know, not to live with the believer, then they are allowed to depart. And the idea of but God has called us to peace, what do you think? Why is that little phrase stated there?
Yeah, I think it's a really good motivation check, I guess. Like, he's saying you should live together if everyone's okay with living together and nobody really wants to leave, like, you shouldn't be kicking somebody out because they're not considering themselves a Christian. You shouldn't be trying to force them to change, but you should just live peaceably together as best as you can and try to be a loving and lovable Christian that is influencing the other person to become a Christian, but not by any sense of force or requirements or I'm going to divorce you if you don't change your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, because of sin, God has had to make allowances and, you know, understand the strains in relationships and marriage. And the spiritual one, you know, there are many things. There's finances, there's, you know, child rearing, you know, standards of belief and different things. But the spiritual one is a very, very significant one. And I've had to counsel many people through some of these things. Just read verse 16 for us.
Verse 16 says, "For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife?"
Yeah, so it seems like God is in the process of not only having peace in families and relationships and concerning children, but also here the salvation. God is interested in the eternal well-being of every person. And a marriage can be the catalyst or can be the environment for that to take place. Yeah. This is marriage is a very challenging one, especially in this day and age. And we just heard on the news this morning, 59,000 people were divorced last year.
Wow. That's hectic. In Australia?
Just in Australia.
Wow.
59,000. And that's not counting de facto relationships.
Yeah.
People that are living together and just,
and then breaking,
you know,
up afterwards.
This is not working. I'm just going to leave and walk out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's huge. The other thing is in the Christian church, the statistics are not that much different.
No, they're about the same.
Yeah. And, you know, in the churches that I pastored, you know, there are a lot of single people in church because the marriage hasn't worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Or people on their second or third or fourth marriages, perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the way it puts the children here are sanctified as well, because the children suffer the most.
Yeah.
You know, they love mum and dad, and they've known mum and dad to be together and at the kitchen table together. You know, driving in the car, holidays, and then suddenly there's only one.
Yeah, and then they might get passed back and forth if they've got 50-50 custody, or, like, typically, no matter how positive a co-parenting situation might be, there's often like an undercurrent of, oh, your other parent is not really a great person. And it just causes dissension and disunity and just a lack of trust for the children, for any adults in their life generally.
Yeah. It brings to mind too, you know, the Bible text that says, you know, if anybody loves mother or father or, you know, husband or wife more than me,
Jesus,
Jesus is not worthy of him. So, in the context of the Bible, to believe in God and to be fully committed, completely and fully committed to God and to your faith and to Jesus, is of higher priority than to give in and to go with an unbeliever in marriage. And there are many people that do this. They compromise their faith and their belief. And here the Bible is saying, is inferring that if the person wants to depart, allow them to depart, but you stay with your God and with your faith. Which is a challenge, but in Scripture this is where the Bible stands. God is a God of love. He created marriage and intimacy, and While sin has brought challenges to our world, to our relationships and marriage, marriage is of highest importance to God. And even in this case here, Paul is saying, do all you can to remain married. Do all you can to live at peace with your family. And God can be a big part of that. And the process of the influence of the husband or the wife on the spouse and the children can be a tremendous, tremendous influence. And who knows that there could be a uniting of the entire family together in the spiritual walk and as a believer in God. And maybe there's some of you listening here that are not believers, or your partner, you see things differently. It is a wonderful thing to have the same belief. Just imagine being able to gather around the lounge room with your kids and to open the Bible together and to seek God together and to kneel in prayer and to commit your relationship, your marriage, to go to the same places together, to attend church together, to have your children in their children's Sabbath schools or Sunday school. This is a great blessing and God's ideal.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. My husband's a pastor as well, and so there's been many a time when he's had people come to him and be like, "What do I do, Pastor? My husband really wants my children to do the catechism or to do, you know, something else that's not of their faith, and they're really against it. But you've signed that contract. It's his child too. He has every right to raise that child the way that he sees biblically and spiritually right. And so to say to him at that stage, after you've already had children together and whatnot, that no, my child isn't going to be able to do that or whatever, it's just too late because it's not fair.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess this is a really good reason for people to be very, very careful as they're considering who they marry.
Yeah.
If you have this kind of wisdom up your sleeve before you get into a committed relationship, it's really important to take very seriously what is the character, what are the beliefs that you hold, and what's the character and the beliefs that the other person holds, what lifestyles, what plans, what visions they have for the future. Do they align with the plans that you have for your future and for the way that you want to raise your children? It's so important to have these conversations really early on. And
very much so. And if you are, I'd be so bold as to say, if you are dating somebody who is not of the same belief system as you, to just
cut it off.
Just get off the radio right now and call them immediately and break up that relationship, because it is not one that should continue.
Yeah. As much as you might love them and feel affection for them, it's ultimately going to cause you and them a lot of emotional harm in the future.
Yeah, and there are many people that I know that marry, have relationships and marry a non-believer, believing that they will become a believer. And believing that they can change.
Missionary dating or missionary marriage, it typically doesn't work.
Yeah, they believe that they can change their partner. Well, you imagine if your partner is marrying you
wanting
as a believer, believing that you'll give in and just, you know, come along with them. That's very unfair.
I was having a conversation like this just the other day with somebody, a Christian who's married to somebody from a completely different faith, and they both want the other to change.
Yeah.
And they've been married for a long time and somehow they've stuck it out. But they're both having this really subtle struggle with each other in the background.
And occasionally it works, you know, and the unrighteous becomes righteous. But I will tell you right now that 9 times out of 10, it's the other way around, that the Christian just gives up.
Yeah.
And ends up not going to church themselves.
Loses their salvation, ultimately.
That's right. You know, or they just have this rough rift between them because you are in a completely different belief system as each other.
Yeah, I've had so many people say, you know, I thought that I could change them, and they said, it was a big mistake, but yeah. now I'm with them. I have to go with the Bible, with my vows, and stay with them, even though I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. You can avoid this by also, as you're preparing to get married or you're considering someone seriously, you can reach out to someone like Pastor Ben here or another local pastor in your area, or even some resources online can help you take, like, step you through a process of determining and discerning if this is the right kind of person for you, if this is going to be a marriage that is going to be fulfilling and long-lasting and compatible on as many fronts as possible, particularly spiritual things. So reach out if you need some help or some guidance. I would love to get some resources or some people to contact you for that.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Have a quiz answer, please, producer Shell. What was that last one?
So the quiz answer that I was after was Ishmael, but yeah, as you pointed out, he did have later six more stepbrothers that were all named that after Sarah died and Abraham remarried, he had another six sons.
He remarried a woman called Keturah, and she bore him
Zimran. Six more sons, yep.
Yeah.
They got some hard names in there, too.
Zimran, Jokshan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua.
Yep. But we want to jump in. We got another couple of text messages to read, sure. And then there's a couple of final thoughts that we wanted to get to today.
Ooh, yes. I just saw this new message that came in. Thank you, Karen. She says, hi, team. Also, Spain on fire. Love the show and the music. Money, the great divider in families when the last parent passes. Great topic. I can relate to many. You and me and Jesus, love it.
That was the song that we played too. Yeah, so she loved that song as well. Lots of great things on the show, so thank you for that great compliment.
Yeah.
And yeah, Devo has just sent through too that he understands from the Bible study he is married to an unbeliever. So yeah, there are times when that can be very problematic. But yeah, praise the Lord for good wives still, you know.
I think his wife is a believer, but she just...
Yeah, not of the same faith. Correct.
Okay. All right. Now, we were also discussing your spicy statement that you threw out at us earlier. I was shocked and amazed, and I was like, all right, fair enough. So earlier, Shell, you said, hey, if you are dating or in a relationship with somebody who is not of the same faith with you, stop listening to the radio right now. Go break up with them, essentially.
Yeah, so pre-marriage I'm talking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you are dating somebody just that doesn't believe the same as you, you should get out of it immediately. And yeah, it might be shocking to say just jump off the radio right now and do it, but don't even take a moment to allow yourself to reconsider and to get emotionally confused on it.
Yeah.
It's something that needs to be done for both of your sakes.
Yeah,
that might sound a bit harsh, but Nehemiah did the same thing.
Yeah, tell us.
When Nehemiah came, he found children that couldn't even speak the language because of the mixed marriages. They couldn't understand Hebrew.
So they were marrying women who were from the Canaanite nations around them, but they weren't actually Hebrew, and they were teaching them to speak in obviously their mother tongue, which was not the Hebrew language.
Ashridge, Ashrod, Amnon, and Moab.
Yeah.
And verse 25, it says that he even cursed them and struck them and pulled out their hair.
Oh, my.
And so he was very, very
emphatic.
Emphatic about marrying non-believer.
Yeah, and I think that was really, really important because he was like trying to keep the unity within the nation of Israel at the time, especially as they were rebuilding, and to not be, I guess, bringing in not only the language that was, you know, these children were not being raised with the Hebrew language, but if they were not being raised with the Hebrew language, they were also not being raised with the Hebrew ideals, beliefs, religion, understanding of our relationship with the one true God, not bowing down to idols or offering to them. And so these mothers from these other Canaanite lands would be teaching their children, who were half Israelite, half Canaanite, to basically effectively just be Canaanite and be coming away from God and really, yeah, diluting the heritage of Israel.
Yeah. But if you are married, make the most of it. Do your very best. Stay faithful to God and he will bless.
Yeah, and he will give you wisdom in how to navigate
your relationships. Just keep praying. That's right.
Yeah.
Be the best example you can. you know, of your faith, and keep praying for them. And yeah, you got to leave the rest with God at that stage.
Yeah. All right. So we are also praying for Belarus at the moment. We've been praying for Minsk, Belarus today. And I just want to share a little bit. I have a friend from Belarus. She's my Belarusian Baptocostal friend. She and I worked in a children's ministry together in Melbourne a few years ago. Shout out to Sasha. We are praying for Sasha and all of her family and people back home in Belarus today. Please keep them in your prayers whenever you think about it, that they may know more about Jesus and come close to him. Thanks so much for listening and for interacting and sending us your messages. We've loved hearing from you guys today. We are going to talk to you guys tomorrow, but remember to talk faith, live faith, and act faith, and you'll grow strong in Jesus Christ.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Until we meet again at Jesus' feet.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.